Okay, good afternoon, everyone. It's always good to be together and to join in with the word of inspiration and prayer. I am thankful that I'm able to share a word with you. Today's word, actually, I'm going to begin a series again. Back in 2020, at the beginning of the pandemic, I shared a series teaching entitled The Vine Connection. The Vine Connection. And this teaching came from John's Gospel, and I want to revisit the teaching with a few adjustments. So let's begin by talking about John. Who was John? John was one of Jesus' 12 disciples who became very near and dear to Jesus, and they had a very close relationship with one another. And I like to compare their relationship to Jonathan and David's relationship. There was such a connection with Jonathan and David that reminds me of John and Jesus' relationship. And John had been a very good friend to Jesus. I don't know how many of you have really good, authentic friends, but there's something about having a good, authentic friend that just helps you, that encourages you, that uplifts you. That is a wonderful thing to have. But John really loved Jesus as a friend, and so much so that the scripture even tells us that he was the only disciple witness at Jesus' crucifixion. And in the scripture, it also tells us that when Jesus was being crucified while he was on the cross, he looked over to John and said, "John, behold your mother," which was he was talking about his own mother, Mary. What he wanted to do was make sure that John took care of Mary, that John took care of his mother. So Jesus trusted John. Jesus loved John, and John loved Jesus as a good friend. And John continued, even after Jesus passed away, he continued to spread the gospel for many years. So what I want us to do is look at John, the 15th chapter. The Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. And we're going to read verses 1 through 17. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Again, that is John, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 17. And the New International Version reads like this: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Verse 7 says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Verse 9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Verse 16, "You did not choose me, But I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of God. Now, we do not know exactly where Jesus and the disciples were at this time. However, we do know that they were en route to somewhere. Actually, it's not until the 18th chapter in verse 1 where we get a geographical location as to where they are. But although we don't know where he was between John 14 and 31, where he said, come, let us leave, and John 15, 1 and 17 that I just read, if we can just use our imagination, there may be a possibility that he's walking through a vineyard. We don't know for sure, but I'm just going to use my imagination. So I want you to use your imagination with me. Imagine they are walking to a certain destination, and as they're walking, they happen upon a vineyard, and Jesus looks at the vineyard, and then he begins to teach. What I want to do, I want to challenge you on today. I want you to see yourself in this scene. Put yourself in this scene. You are a follower of Christ, one of his chosen disciples in this generation. And Jesus begins to speak to you. And this is what he says to you. He says to you all that we just read at in John, the 15th chapter, verse 17. Now, let's begin by diving into verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, in verse 1 and verse 2 that I just read, there are three sets of players that appear in the vineyard scene. Three sets. Now, if you look at verse 1 and 3, you will see those three sets, but I'm going to break it down to you. The first person that we're going to see is God. How did Jesus refer to the Father in John, the 15th chapter, verse 1? He says, I am the vine, and my Father is what? He is the gardener. He's also known as the vine dresser. The gardener is the keeper of the vineyard. It's either the owner or a person that the owner hired to tend to it. The gardener's responsibility is to get from his plants the most pounds of grapes possible, healthy, and if it's properly tended, the vineyard will produce really healthy grapes. Just the other week, I went and I purchased some grapes from Sam's. Sam's, they changed their, whoever they're buying their grapes from, because it's a whole different company, and those grapes were horrible. I was so upset, because usually I get really nice, sweet grapes from Sam's, but they seem to have changed whoever they purchased them from. It's another name. And you just want to make sure, because, you know, God wants to make sure that we are fruitful and that we are sweet and that we are kind. So I started thinking about that. But the gardener's responsibility includes monitoring the health of the plants and making sure that it's watered and that it's fed and that it's trimmed properly. Any kind of gardener, a gardener makes sure that they cut the shrubs down and they fertilize and they weed the gardens. As a matter of fact, I just had my yard mowed, and now I need to have him come and trim my hedges. And I started doing some de-weeding myself, but you want to make sure that you take care of what you have. So here we find the first person in this scripture. The first one is the gardener. Who is the gardener? That's God. Now, how did Jesus refer himself? If we look still in verse 2, he says that he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, in verse 1 and 2, we find out that the true vine is Jesus himself. The true vine is Jesus himself. And I remember about 10 years ago when some friends of mine, we all went to celebrate one of my friend's 50th birthday party. And we took a tour and we looked at a vineyard. And I learned that the long trailing limb that sprawls around the trellis was not the vine. I always thought that was the vine. I found out that it was the trunk of the plant that grows out of the ground that's the vine. And in some vineyards, they like to keep the vine waist high up to 36 to 46 inches so that it will grow properly and it will get the proper sunlight so it can make the grapes nice and sweet. Now, the next person or the next one that we're going to talk about is how he referred to his disciples. Who are the disciples? We're the disciples. We are the branches. So we talk about the gardener, we talk about the vine, and now we're talking about the branches. Again, the gardener is who? God. The vine is who? The true vine is who? Jesus. And we are the branches. We are the branches, and we want to make sure that we stay connected to the vine. We want to make sure that we stay connected. If the branch were simply wound it around the vine tightly, it will still die without producing any fruit. We want to make sure that we stay connected. The branch must be attached to the vine with an openness to receive from it. Let me explain it this way. So often we have our own agenda about how we want to serve God. As a result, we don't produce God-glorifying fruit. We have to be open to the power to flow and the purpose of God in order for the vine to accomplish what it needs to accomplish. In other words, we got to make sure that we stay connected. We can't force fruit. We can only abide in the vine. And I had to learn that the hard way. Trying to do ministry, excuse me, Thelma's way produces a mess. But once I reconnected to the vine, fruit started to manifest. And even doing this call with y'all every Friday, these calls, the word of inspiration and prayer, has everything with me getting out of the way and allowing the vine to have its way by feeding me the right nutrients. So I've got to get out of Velma's way and allow the vine to do what it needs to do in me. So let me say this to you as we begin this series. The God of all the universe has ordained that our life bear much fruit. And I want you to take what I am saying personally. This teaching series is about God. It's about Jesus, and it's about you. This teaching series that we're about to start, it's about God, it's about Jesus, and it's about you. Jesus and God's eyes are on you and at every moment. Hear them speak to you. Keep your ears open. Allow your spirit to receive, because we want to bear much fruit. We need to get into our heads that God hasn't appointed you or me to live this Christian life in mediocrity, but he wants us to live it in the fullness. He wants us to have a harvest. And I want to encourage you as we go through this series to embrace and celebrate what God has for you. I am so tired of the enemy doing subtle schemes to convince the body of Christ that only a few lives in each generation are truly significant. But listen, your life, my life, is a part that is significant. We are all significant. As a matter of fact, you tell yourself, I am significant. God has chosen you. God has chosen me. And he wants to be glorified by us bearing much fruit. So I want to give you some homework for the next couple of weeks. I want to give you a little homework. I'm not going to be teaching on next week because my niece is graduating. I've got one, my nephew and their twins. One is graduating on tomorrow at Methodist College. And next week, I'll be on Friday. My other niece is graduating from Virginia Tech. So they're twins. One's a boy and one's a girl. So I'm not going to be here on next Friday. But the following Friday, we will continue the series. So I want you to take some time and take the time to read John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And I want you to take your time and just read it with fresh eyes and allow God to speak to you and write down what he is revealing. And what I want you to do is practice what we call Lectio Divina. What is Lectio Divina? I learned this in school, in divinity school, this past semester. And what it is that you would read a scripture. Now, this scripture I need you to read is verses 1 through 17. Read it out loud to yourself or have someone read it to you. And after you read it, stop and think about what you read. Then read it again. This time, read it with listening ears. See what God is saying to you through these scriptures. Write down what God is saying to you. Stop and meditate on what is being said. And then read it again and allow the voice of God to direct you. And after you read it, you pray and say, God, what is it that you're trying to show me through this scripture? So I want to challenge you to study the scripture, to read the scripture, allow God to speak to you personally through these verses. Again, John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17. Allow God to speak to you through these verses. And then when we come together on the following Friday, we will continue our study. But there's so much that we can learn in these 17 verses, including how your prayers can be answered. The word of God is rich. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 4 and 12 tells us that the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's how powerful the word of God is. Allow the word of God while you're taking the time, reading John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17, to pierce your heart. Allow the word of God to pierce your mind. Allow the word of God, John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17, to penetrate your mind and your spirit. And you pray and you ask God, what is it that you want me to learn? So I look forward to reconnecting with you the week after next. I want to challenge you again to definitely do not forget. I will probably have Patricia send out a reminder email for those of you who are joining in to read that chapter again, John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And we're going to continue with this series. We're going to go even deeper, much deeper. And we're going to talk about the vine. We're going to talk about how we must remain in the vine and what happens when we get detached from the vine. As we know, if we're detached, there's no growth. Whenever you detach from something, you're not going to grow anymore. So we want to make sure in order for us to grow that we stay connected to the vine. This is the word of inspiration for today, and we will continue in a couple of weeks. But at this time, we're going to go ahead and we're going to prepare our hearts and minds for prayer. And as we transition into prayer, know that we serve an unlimited God who loves us, who cares about us, who wants us to stay connected to him. But as we prepare, I want to encourage you to just begin to talk to God in your own way, begin to worship him in your own way, begin to glorify him in your own way as we go before God. And just before I do that, I just want to spend just a couple of seconds in silence as we prepare our hearts for prayer. Thank you, God. Father God, once again, we give you all thanks. We honor you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for all that you have done. We worship you, O God, because you are God. You are holy. You are all sufficient. You are all knowing. You are all powerful. You are mighty. You are magnificent. God, you are righteous. You are the everlasting Father, and there's no one that can ever compare to you. And so this afternoon, God, we say thank you. We honor you, God, for being Abba, Father. We honor you for being the true and the living God, the God of the universe, the captain of our souls. God, you've been an amazing God, and we glorify you because you are God and you are righteous. You are our our source. You are our way maker. God, we open up our mouths and we exalt you on today, and we pour our love on you because of who you are. And we know that you have been good to each and every one of us, God. You've taken care of us, oh God. You've looked over us, God. You've kept us, oh God, from hurt, harm, and danger. And God, we say thank you. You have given us, oh God, all that we need according to your glory. And we thank you, oh God, for being our friend. We thank you for being our advocate. We thank you for being our protector. We thank you for being our provider. We thank you for being our way maker. We thank you for keeping our minds. We thank you for keeping our bodies. We thank you, oh God, for being the one that supplies all of our need. God, we say thank you and we honor you. Now, God, if there's anything that we have done, if there's any sin, oh God, that we have committed and we did not ask for forgiveness for, God, we ask that you forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. May our worship and may our prayer be accepted unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I come before you asking that you will pour out your blessings, God, upon the lives of your people who are connected on this afternoon, who are seeking you diligently, oh God. And as they seek you and as they honor you, I pray that you will open up new doors and that you will that they may be venturing, oh God, oh God, in this season. I pray that you will open up the doors for them and that you will let them see, oh God, that you are with them and that you will never leave them nor forsake them, God. May you open up doors that they didn't know they wanted to have open. Yes, God, those unrequested doors. God, I thank you. God, I understand about those unrequested doors. And God, I pray that even those unrequested prayers, oh God, those doors that you have prepared to open for them from the time that they were conceived and even when they were in their father's loins and when they were placed in their mother's wombs, God, you spoke life and you know the plans for them, plans to prosper them and not to harm them, plans to give them a hope and a future. So Father, on today I pray for your children to trust the plans that you have for them in their lives, God, the plans that you have for each and every one of us. Father, some of your children question our plans, oh God, because they don't understand and things are not going the way they want them to go. So the enemy has planted a seed of doubt in their minds. But this afternoon, I pray, God, that you will show them that your plans once again are better than their own plans. So Father, we say thank you for your plans. Father, this afternoon, I pray for those who are struggling to stay connected to the vine because of their weaknesses, oh God, whatever weakness it may be, oh God. God, in certain areas of their lives, there are moments in all of our lives, oh God, that we walk, oh God, and not a pleasing way. So Father, I pray right now, oh God, that we all, oh God, will walk in the way that you want us to walk, Father. Father, I pray, oh God, that you will show them, God, that you love them and that you care about them and that you want them, oh God, to succeed, oh God. God, there are moments, oh God, that we all go through where we feel like that we are weak, but God, we know that we are strong with you. So God, I speak life-changing words over their lives right now on today. Father, I even speak your word, oh God, that says over in Joel, the third chapter, let the weak say I am strong. So Father, for those who are struggling and who are weak in any area, let them declare that they are strong. Whether they are weak in their spirit, may they declare that they are strong. Whether they are weak in their mind, may they declare that they are strong, because you say that you will keep them in perfect peace if their minds are stayed on you, because he trusts in thee. If they're weak in their body, God, this afternoon I speak your word over their lives. By the stripes of Jesus, they are healed and they are overcomers. They are more than conquerors and they can do all things through Christ that strengthens them, and they are strong in the power of his might. God, I pray your word over them, God. Father, our words are powerful, God. Your word even tells us over in Proverbs that the tongue has power over life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So, Father, remind your people, oh God, remind your children that they can change their lives by changing the confession from their mouths. I thank you, God, by changing the confessions of their mouths. So, Father, we will speak that we are strong. We will speak that we are more than conquerors, and that we will stay connected to the vine. Father, I thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. Whatever the need is right now, God, the unspoken prayer request, God, I pray that you will meet every need. God, that even as they take this next 2 weeks to study this word, God, John, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 17, God, you speak to them, oh God, you direct them, oh God, you give them a word that they need to hear just for themselves. Father, you speak to them, oh God. This is my prayer, that as we come back together, God, in 2 weeks, oh God, that you, oh God, will speak through me and that they will also receive what you have said. Father, I thank you for all that you're going to do and all that you have done. We give you praise on today. Whatever the need may be, God, we trust you because you do all things well. Now, Father, I pray for your peace, peace in this nation, peace in the neighborhoods, peace in the world, peace in our hearts. I pray love will, God, will continue to win in the name of Jesus. I pray that love will abide within us. Father, touch all of our hearts. Teach us how to examine ourselves. Teach us how to examine ourselves. Yes, God, show us where we need to come up. Show us how to exude love for one another. Continue, oh God, to use us to bless others, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for Pierce Insurance. Thank you for the example that they are in so many ways, oh God, not just as employers, oh God, but for what they do for others, oh God, who are not employed by them, oh God. Thank you, oh God, because they have a heart for outreach. Thank you for their commitment to outreach. Thank you for the commitment to serve. God, we say thank you. Father, continue to bless them because they have a desire to bless others, oh God. So, Father, we thank you for all that you have done and all that you're going to do. We thank you and we praise you. We ask for your protection, oh God, until we come together once again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.